Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I've got an awesome interview lined up for you. I've got Nina DiGregorio. She is an amazing violinist, but she plays rock and roll, and it's just so good. If you haven't seen her already, she's got a brand new video out of her playing Eruption by Eddie Van Halen. What an awesome cover. It sounds just like it. I'm just saying, you'll be blown away if you haven't seen it yet or heard it. It's making waves all over the internet, on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, millions of views already in just a day since the video has been out. But you expect big things from her. She's with a band called the Femmes of Rock. They play all your popular rock music, and she's got other projects she's been working on. I'm going to talk all about it right now. So here we go. Here she is. Here's Nina DiGregorio. Saw your video. Now you just did a video about Eruption. You just did your cover of Eruption, and how many millions of views? I know it's over a million now, but that's all over. I know on TikTok, it's on Facebook, it's on Instagram, YouTube, wherever. Have you tallied all the views lately?
It's been posted for about a day and a half now, and I think the last time I saw, we were well over 2 million views on TikTok and well over a million views on Instagram. And it's hard for me to keep track of the notifications at this point. It took off much faster than I had anticipated.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure it did. Which, you know, that's understandable. Okay, you're thinking about Eddie Van Halen. You're thinking about, you know, Eruption and how awesome that song is. Okay. And I know you're like me, you know, you love the song. And there's fans all over the world that love the song. You know, what made you decide, you know, I want to cover this, you know, this song? And unlike a lot of people out there like me, and I'm over there trying to, you know, learn Eddie Van Halen on guitar, but you're doing it on a violin. So how did you get to that point to decide you wanted to do that song? And how did you get to that point, you know, to be able to play that song? Because there's a lot to it, a lot more than people realize, right?
Definitely. My favorite musicians since I was small have always been rock guitar players. It's the music I was drawn to since I was small. I know a lot of it's before my time, or some of the people were never even alive at the same time as me, but I really love that music. And I was a violin player, and so I wanted to learn some of that repertoire for my instrument. And on my page, you can see I've covered a lot of different guitarists in a lot of different classic rock bands. And the violin, excuse me, stupid bronchovid or whatever it is. On the violin, it's typically not thought of as a rock instrument. Now it's more and more becoming accepted as one. And you'll see violinists in rock bands a lot more often. But especially when I was small growing up, it wasn't seen that way. And I kind of wanted to help be one of the people that changed that, to try and play a different kind of repertoire. And there are people before me who have done this. And, you know, I had never seen somebody do tapping on the violin before, finger tapping. And I had tried it on my fretless instrument and it wasn't going to happen. So I knew I was going to have to get a fretted violin in order to do that, to bend the strings over the fret to make the sound. And I've seen one other violinist do that technique, and that's it. So when people ask me, well, at this point, why don't you just play a guitar? Well, number one, I'm a violinist. That's what I'm trained to do. I don't, you know, I can play a few chords on the guitar, but I'm not a guitar player to play Eddie Van Halen repertoire at all. And number two, you know, there's a million guitar players out there trying to carve a career or a pathway. And there's like literally two of us that are doing this kind of thing on an electric violin with the finger tapping or whatever. So I think it's a much better category to be in for trying to have a career in music.
Sure. And, you know, I was noticing, and I've seen the electric violins before and people that play them, but this, you had to kind of adapt a guitar, make it longer, right? Where you can reach those notes, right? It's not like just like a violin that's electric. It's like, kind of like a guitar, right? Is that how it's set up on there?
It's not a guitar at all. It's actually, it's if you take an electric violin, like a regular four string electric violin, tuned in fifths, you know, differently than a guitarist tune, and then you add three lower strings, also tuned in fifths. So below the G string, you have a C, an F, and a B flat string. So it's basically an extended range violin, no different than you would see like a five string bass or a six string bass to try and reach extended ranges for certain repertoire or things you may need to use it for. And the whether a violin comes in fretted or fretless, that's nothing new either. There have been fretted ancestors to the violin since the Renaissance times. I mean, you know, if you look up viola da gamba, you'll see a fretted bowed string instrument from long before there was a ever a Gibson Les Paul. And so I think a lot of people just aren't aware of that, that you can buy a electric violin in four to seven strings. I think I've even seen an eight string, but they're not that common. And you can also buy a fretted or a fretless electric violin. Obviously, I began as a classical violinist. I have a master's degree in classical violin, but since my graduation, I've added five string, then six string, and now seven string to the repertoire to be able to cover the range. I wanted to play Eruption in the same octave range that Eddie played it in. I didn't want to have to take things up an octave in order to play it. There's other violinists that do that, and they're amazing players, you know, virtuoso covers that do that. But I wanted to be able to take my instrument and try and play it with the same effects, with the same techniques, and to tr really translate that guitar style to the violin.
Sure. And you did a phenomenal job. I mean, it's not like you're just, I'm going to do a cover of Eddie. It's like, it sounds just like it, but you're doing it on violin. And what I also notice is, like you said, it's not the same as a guitar. So one person is trying to play, you said you do the finger tapping, which is similar to the guitar on that. But when you're picking, you're playing with a bow. So where the average guy on the guitar has the pick, you're doing it with a bow. So I was noticing those bends, you're doing bends differently than you would a guitar. And so to me, it's more complicated. You're copying the sound of a guitar, but you're having to do different things to make those sounds. Can you talk about that?
Right. I think I haven't seen many violinists who bend strings the way a guitar player would bend the strings. Usually that's accomplished with a technique called portamento, where you kind of just slide between notes, because usually you're playing a fretless instrument and it's done, you know, in all sorts of classical repertoire. And so to emulate a guitar player doing a bend, you just kind of slide up on the string, but kind of get the same idea across, but it just sounds like, you know, way slinkier and way cooler to actually bend the string. Now, in order to do that, the violin has much shorter strings and the tension is a lot higher than that of a guitar string. And you don't really have a lot of options to buy like different tensions of strings. It's a pretty small niche market, the market of electric violins. So, I have like torn up my fingers trying to do bends on the electric violin. It's not the easiest thing to do. And also to try and bend in tune sideways. I don't know if you can see what I'm doing, but you know, on a guitar, you're bending up. You know, on the violin, I have your arm is like this, and you're kind of bending the string sideways to try and keep it in tune. So that was one thing that I had to practice a lot to try and always bend the note in tune. And I'm sure guitar players have to practice that same thing. Harmonics are actually very similar. You know, you have a couple different types of harmonics you can produce on a violin. Just touching the string will produce harmonics in certain segments along the string, just like a guitar would. There's also something in violin called a false harmonic, where you can actually put your first finger down and then just touch with your fourth finger, and you can kind of slide up and down, only playing harmonics that way. And so, whenever I do sort of a pinch harmonic type sound, I'll use that technique a lot. And I actually have a video out on YouTube where I describe how I do some of these guitar things in more detail. You know, on the violin, the finger tapping was the hardest. You think, oh, well, it's not really that hard to do finger tapping on guitar. I mean, it was groundbreaking when Eddie did it, and now a lot of people do it, and it's not the hardest technique to make sound with on a guitar. On a violin, that's just not the case at all. The frets are very small. It's like learning a completely different type of fingerboard, because you're not used to having to know where the notes are by touching it with your right hand. You only usually know where you're going with your left hand. And so I need to know what my right hand is playing and, you know, with the other one as well. But also, if you try and just plug the violin and do it, it's not going to make a sound. So it took me months to figure out the right effect chain and the right technique with my fingers to even make a sound with tapping. There's no natural resonance. Like, you could even take an electric guitar not plugged in and still make sound tapping on the instrument. And that's just not the case with these super high tension, really small electric violins. So it was a process. And like I said, to my knowledge, like, two of us have figured it out so far. So it was, that was the hardest part of covering Eruption for sure. Took a long time.
Sure. And like you were saying, though, you had to learn to play a certain way. So does that kind of throw you off, like when you're doing other songs where you maybe you're not doing as much on the guitar or the finger tapping or what? Does that kind of mess with your mind? I mean, when you had to learn all that?
It does mess with you. Excuse me. Does mess with you a bit. If I have to play my acoustic four string classical violin for anything, I need to reacquaint with it for a few days of practicing. And it feels like a toy. It feels so small after you play. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a baseball player and you put the weight on the end of your bat so that when you get up to bat, you can swing a lot faster. That's what it feels like. Right. Like practicing on the huge seven string and then going back to the four string, I feel like my fingers can fly now because they're so used to the big neck.
Right. And you were talking about your fingers bleeding, and I'm thinking of the Bryan Adams song, you know, played it to him, fingers bled, you know, summer 69. And I've been there too. And I used to get so frustrated because I'd play and I wasn't fast enough and I wasn't this or that, but my fingers used to bleed because they weren't used to it. Now, I know there's got to be a certain dedication and motivation in your plan. You were determined to learn that song. Why were you so determined? And tell me, I have read that your husband thought maybe, you should give up on this. Maybe this isn't the thing for you. Why'd you keep going?
So my husband is also a professional musician and show producer like myself. He's a singer, a keyboard player, guitar player, multi-instrumentalist. And so when I was first trying to make sound tapping, it sounded terrible. It was just like, there were so many problems. It was so problematic to try and do it on this instrument. So he picked it up, you know, because he can do it on a guitar. And he like put the instrument, he's like, this ain't going to happen. There's no way you're going to make sound doing this on a violin. You're never going to be able to do this fast on a violin. And he's like, you know, maybe you should just do it with your bow. Like other people have done it with the bow. And I'm like, no, I'm going to figure it out. This is just a puzzle and I'm going to figure it out. So it was like months after that point where I finally got to the point where I think I said in my description, he was taking a shower one day, heard me practicing, came out and said, I thought you were playing the recording. And at that point, I knew I was close because he's a big Van Halen fan and he knows the music, you know, in and out. But it was difficult and it was quite a process of practicing, especially to play it up to that speed, which, you know, it was just probably 9 million times of playing it.
Right. And also, I know the effects, there's probably different effects that you use. You probably had to go through a lot of sounds. I think that's mentioned too, is you probably tried all kinds of different effects. That probably had to be frustrating when you're like, I'm looking for this certain sound and you're trying to play it. And you're getting closer, but it's like, that ain't quite right. How did you finally get that sound?
Well, it was really frustrating because I guess back in the old days, you could just go to a music store and you could try all these different pedals and find what you wanted and go home. Nowadays, there's no inventory anywhere. Everything is online. So something that maybe could have taken me a few days to get through took like months because I had to buy a pedal, wait for it to be shipped, try it out for a few days, ship it back, buy another pedal, you know, because everything's online. So it took a while to get the right combination. I use a Line 6 Helix as my main, it's like the starter for all of my sounds that I use. Violins, they respond to amplifiers a bit differently. There's a, you know, a different output level. There's it's just a completely different type of drawing a sound than a guitar is. And so a lot of guitar players who are purists and they just want amps, they don't want digital boards or anything like that. I found that there are not many amps that I really like the sound of a violin through. I think I can get much better sounds using the digital Helix board with the violin. Now, for guitar players, like like I said, I mean, they have their own opinions about their instrument. For me, I've always found it very hard to control the sound that I want on the violin with a physical amplifier. So I tend to go direct most of the time, but I will throw in some boutique analog pedals to help me with certain sounds. Like in the video, I use a Digitech Whammy DT because I feel like the pitch shifting is much more accurate with a lot less artifacts than what I can program within the digital effects. So it's trial and error and seeing what works best. And I've got my own rig that I like that combination of things. And I'm sure every guitar player has their own, and they'll argue till they're blue in the face about what's better. But it's not really about what's better. It's about what's better for you and what's better for what you're playing that day, you know?
Sure. And of course, that sound, you know, with the feedback and everything, you probably had to have an effect that wouldn't be so loud, like with a regular amp, I guess. Like you're talking about controlling the sound. There would probably be like this tremendous feedback if you had it direct, right? Or how would that work?
Yeah, so obviously by using a digital board, I don't really have to worry about feedback. And part of the problem, and one of the reasons why you even have an electric violin, because if you take a hollow-bodied acoustic violin and you just put a pickup on it, now you're playing in a rock band with a drummer. And, you know, so you really need to crank your volume up a bit. You're going to feedback. You try and put effects on it, you're going to feedback. And this just eliminates the need to control all of that. Like if you're playing in a fairly quiet bluegrass band and you're playing an acoustic violin, it's probably fine. If you're playing heavy metal or hard rock music, you know, you're going to want something that you and your sound guy can control your sound a little better in the mix.
Right. And that makes you feel better and more comfortable when you got it at hand. You can control any little problem. You got the knobs and you got the pedals to fix everything. But yeah, it sounded cool even down to the on the Eruption song, you know, when the last part with the little feedback and the little, you know, it's just, I mean, to me, you have to have a good ear for music too. Do you have that, you know, where you can just listen to something and play it? Are you like that, musically inclined? Do you play by ear?
I'm classically trained and I have a master's in classical violin. So in order to get those degrees, you have to take ear training courses. You have to take composition and arranging courses. You have to take music theory courses. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that I have a training and a background in reading music notation, but that's somewhat of, I didn't actually have to play by ear much until I started playing in rock bands, because when I was learning classical repertoire, it's just not how you learn it. You learn it, you get the music, you put in all the bowings and fingerings, and your teacher shows you the way their teacher showed them and the way their teacher showed them. And that's what you learn from. And so I actually memorize things faster by looking at the page, by looking at notation, than I do by ear. And I know that a lot of guitar players, it's opposite. They can memorize something a lot faster just learning it by ear. I can learn something by ear, but my brain will just remember it faster if I look at it on a page. So that's why my first step is always to transcribe the solo that I'm working on. I'll transcribe it into notation. Then I can memorize it in very few passes when I do it that way because of my classical background, I think.
Right. And that's nice. I wish I had that classical background and all that. I can't read music, but I play by ear. And I think the advantage of that is, I know, like, if somebody just picks up and says, I want to play this song, you're thinking, I've never heard that song, or I'm not familiar with that song. You can listen and play. If it's an A, you can tell that it's an A. But for you, you would. So if somebody comes up and says, let's do such and such a song, you know, if you don't have the music to it, how do you adapt as a.
Played in bands for years. And like I said, that's where I play by ear. I also play bass guitar. And so I'm self-taught on bass. I'm not like classically trained bassist, but I played in an all request band. And when you play in an all request band, a lot of the time a song is requested that you don't know, but maybe the guitar player knows it. So you're looking at their hands. Okay, he's playing this chord. This is where we're going here. Okay. And you adapt on site. Right. You know, I learned a lot of songs the right way. And then some of them I just had to, like I said, look over and see what the guitar player is playing and listen to the drummer and what he's doing with the beat and just kind of fall in place. So I do have experience playing by ear as well, but it was a skill that I learned later. I didn't learn that at you know, 9 years old. I learned it as an adult when I started playing in rock bands, and I kind of split from playing in symphony orchestras.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, to go from symphony orchestras to eruption. I mean, that's to me, you know, and the thing is, and I'm thinking about Eddie Van Halen, who loved Beethoven and loved classical music, and he would play that classically on piano because, you know, he was the same way, you know, and that's how he kind of transferred it to guitar. Because the way I'm thinking, that sounds like some kind of classical music, you know,
And he actually
eruption is
wrote
just
the
so.
famous etude in Eruption, a famous, you know, violin etude. And so you could tell that he had, you know, interest and knowledge of some of that stuff. And Randy Rhoads is another one who has a very classical way of playing. And so it's somewhat, sometimes, I don't want to say easier, but easier to understand his style of playing because he approached the guitar in a very similar way to something that sounds classical.
Right. And you've had people and different guitarists that have bragged on you. I know, like, well, Michael Anthony, and I even noticed the other day, he was like, whoa, you know, awesome. You know, that's cool to have people like Michael Anthony or Richie Sambora or Peter Frampton, somebody going, hey, this girl is just awesome. What does that make you feel like when you hear all these guitar players that you've been playing their songs and they're like, this is amazing?
Well, when someone from the original band comments on your cover of it and it's positive, you know, they're happy about it. It's kind of validating, especially to all of the haters that come on the page, and a lot of them are like, "Oh, you're just miming. That sounds just like Eddie. You're just playing to his recording." You're I'm like, "Well, a guy who's in the real band like knows that I'm not miming to Eddie. Isn't that good enough for you?" You know, and I got the same kind of comments when I covered the Limelight solo by Alex Lifeson, and Alex had commented on the Instagram video, and then right after his comment, someone was like, "You're just miming to Alex's solo." I'm like, "That is Alex. Like, come on." You know, but
The guy himself just said, I mean.
yeah. So I mean, the people who actually played the solo, they know it's not them playing the solo, or people who were in the band. But a lot of people just, I think they just don't know what to believe. Like in this age of AI, and there's so much misinformation that you can find about just about anything on the web, it's hard for people to know what's real. But instead of like trying to learn more about a subject or a person, people just want to be lazy and just leave a comment. Like, here's the thing. If I want to know, I'm a musician, so I can tell when I watch an online video of someone covering a song, if they're a good player or not, because I'm a trained musician. Now, if I wasn't a trained musician, one of the things I could do to figure that out would just be a simple Google search. Like if you Google search somebody's name and it shows up that they've actually been on tours or on recordings with accredited, you know, music artists, and they have like a whole list of career items that they've done, performances. And it's not just, oh, that's someone just only has an Instagram page and nothing else. Like maybe they're an actual
Right.
musician, but most people don't take the
Probably.
time to do that. And they just want to be like, oh, this is fake, wannabe musician. It's like, even just do a Google search if you're not sure, you know, it's that simple. So.
Right. I think a lot of it is jealousy. I think a lot of times when they see people, because obviously, you know, you put on your version of Eruption or any of your songs that you do for like 3 seconds and your mouth goes, ah. Because, like I said, I play guitar. I know that that's really awesome and talented, and it's a violin. You're doing things that people can't do on guitar with a violin. So people are going to be jealous and they're going to find a way to try to lower your self-esteem. But that's like trying to, you know, I don't know, chip away at a mountain. You know, you're not going to bring you down after all that you've accomplished with those millions of views in one day. That's not going to affect you. I don't think you let stuff bother you, do you?
No, not too much. I'm a Buffalo Italian, so I'm a little bit feisty, and I don't really worry about those things too much. But I took my basic love for classic rock guitar solos, and I created a production show around that. It's called Femmes of Rock, and we tour the country. We're touring starting again next week. So for a lot of these people who are haters, I'm like, come, just we're on tour. like, come see us live. We run out into the crowd and stand on chairs and play right in front of people's faces. Don't be lazy, you know, just come see the show and you'll change your mind about right. whether or not it's fake. I'm not trying to hide in my house and never be seen in public. We're on tour, so.
Right. And that's a cool band, Films of Rock. Y'all got a new EP out, right? Can you talk about that?
The EP is a few years old now, and actually I was going to get ready to do another one with the band, but also I'm working on some originals to put out on my own. Excuse me again with the bronchovid. The only thing I have out online now is like a short sample clip of one of the original songs I'm working on, but I'd like to put out a full album. You know, there's steps along the way that you also have to be a business person. People, a lot of people also get mad that I play cover songs. They're like, well, that's a bunch of crap. You know, all you do is copy someone else and ride on their coattails. You don't do anything on your own. And for number one, like, have they ever been to a symphony orchestra concert? The best musicians in the world play in major symphony orchestras in the big cities around the world, playing Beethoven and Mahler and Mozart. And, you know, the reason why people still go to see Beethoven's Ninth Symphony is so that music doesn't die. It's standard beloved repertoire that Beethoven right. is long gone, but we're keeping this standard beloved repertoire, this part of art and culture alive. So why would we treat Eddie Van Halen's music any differently? He is a modern day, you know, standard for art and culture in the kind of music True. Since the time that their first album came out. So to me, covering Eddie Van Halen's standard solo of Eruption, everyone should do it. You know what? You're going to get better if you do it. And it's no different than covering Beethoven's Ninth Symphony with the New York Philharmonic to me. So
that's a good point. A lot of people have a chip on their shoulder when it comes to covers, period. There's a lot of flack and a lot of, you know, noise about that, about cover bands and people doing. But like you said, art, it's like, you know, that's just, you're just copying somebody that's already talented. If you can nail what another genius did, and you're sounded just like that, what does that make you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Eddie Van Halen was up here. If you can make a violin sound like that, you're not a shabby player. I'm just saying, if people understand that.
They misunderstand what copy means, because copy means that you've done the exact same thing as someone else while taking credit for it. So, no. First of all, Eddie didn't play a violin. It's a completely different instrument. Right. And second of all, I've never tried to take credit for writing the piece. That's what copying would be. You know, people don't understand the definition of the word. And also, they don't understand how business works. This isn't the 1970s where you can get discovered in a shopping mall by a record label and they're going to hand you $5 million to go make a record. No one's making money selling music anymore. Streaming killed that. A tour to make, and how do you build an audience to be able to release your own original music? You have to catch their eye somehow. If I started out just putting my own original music online, I don't think I'd have anywhere near as many followers, but I'm not new with that concept. Look at the Beatles' first album. What comes right after Eruption on that album? A cover song, you know?
Like, got me.
Yeah. So most bands are getting their start by playing other people's music, and then when they have people's attention, they throw their own music in there. I mean, I would be hard-pressed to find a band that didn't start in a bar or anywhere playing cover songs of somebody. So, like I said, these are just kind of ignorant people that say that don't understand the business end of music, and they don't understand the art part of music. So,
right. And the best thing to prove these people wrong is keep doing what you're doing and getting millions of views. And I know you're looking forward to other things. I know that I know you got another interview coming up, but I know you probably got some big plans and dreams for the future. Can you say what they might be? What's your ultimate goal?
Well, I have a few different projects, actually. I have the Femmes of Rock show, which is a show that I created. I wrote all the arrangements for, and we tour that. It will be great to continue that to more venues, to larger venues, to have more awareness for the show. It's very difficult as a mid-level entertainer who's not famous to sell tickets to your own thing, to your own show. I've played as a backup artist with a lot of different artists. I've played shows with David Foster in arenas, but they weren't there to see me, you know, so I can't claim that that was mine. But right now we're playing, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 seat theaters. I can claim that as mine. Like, my show is selling those tickets. And that's the hardest thing to do when you're not already famous in the world, is to be able to sell tickets and start from the ground up and do it like that. And like I said, without it being the way it was, where a major label comes, picks you up and throws millions of dollars at you to start your career, is, I don't see that happening in the industry right now. So if you want to do this for a living, you have to be creative. And I feel like that's what we're trying to do. So yeah, I'd like to expand the Femmes of Rock show. I would like to put out my own album. If I have a chance to collaborate with someone who really has an innovative vision with things, you know, everybody knows who my favorite artists are because I cover them on my page. Those are my people. And if I had the opportunity to work directly with any of them on new music, that would be just about all I could ask for, really. So I've never been a force it kind of person. I always just kind of like, if you do what you do and you do it well and you put it out into the world, good things will happen to you. So I've always just focused on trying to put out a quality product and let things happen, you know, naturally. I don't like to try and force anything ever in my career. Things have always just kind of just happened like that.
Right. And it sounds like they're going to keep happening. Based on what I've seen, it's going to keep getting better and better. And haters can go fly a kite because they're just, they don't matter. But what does matter is that you're creating art, you're creating awesome music, which I happen to love. And I know millions of people do. But I thank you for being here today and talking about it. I'm looking forward to hearing more about you. I'm going to check out some more of your stuff too. And but I want to see you playing with some of these artists. I know that they eventually they'll be like, yeah, let's do something, because I know it's coming. So be ready for that. And but thank you for talking to me today.
Thank you for having me. It's very nice to meet you.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Thanks. You too.
There she is, Nina DiGregorio. Such a talented violinist. Check out her brand new video for Eruption. Wow, so good. And check out her band's website, femmesofrock.com. And they got some shows coming up, so be ready for that. And yeah, looking forward to hearing more from her. Thanks for watching, everybody, and listening in. Until next time, always remember to keep the music real.